Jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today, Monday, January 4th, 2016. And some say it wouldn't last. Oh, we're proud to be with you. We're so thankful to be with each and every one of you. We missed you during the four-day hiatus of this show. We did a lot of retooling of things. And I got to tell you something. We are, you're not going to see the improvements. You're not going to visually see them. You're going to feel them. Okay, you know, as Paul McGuire says, you know, approaching the throne room of God with a violence. Well, it changes with a violence, and that's a good violence. I'm not speaking, you know, improper. That's a good violence, folks. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in snowy Northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live each and every weeknight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. That's a place to be. We're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. Very, very want to thank them very much. You can watch us live on our YouTube channel. Links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found on their home base on the internet at HagmanandHagman.com. Now, I'm going to tell you something about what's going on here. Here's the deal. HagmanandHagman.com will be the show page. You want information about HagmanandHagman.com? What's coming? Go there. HagmanandHagman.com. Beginning this week, HagmanReport.com will be the place to go for in-depth investigative articles, commentaries, editorials. It's HagmanReport.com. So think of it as a kind of a road that goes in one direction, in one way, show, other way, investigative articles. And I want to thank JD. I want to thank Eric the Tech. I want to thank Rhonda. It's Rhonda M. JD. Eric the Tech. I want to thank Lady, the studio dog.
I think you got them all.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank, but most importantly, folks, I want to thank each and every one of you. Now, Joe, it's I haven't seen you all year except for today.
Yeah. You know, it was a nice break, but ready to come back for sure.
Yeah.
A lot going on. I mean, you take 4 days off and you have no.
Well, see, and here's the thing. See, some people outlet. Take 4 days off. Not me. No. Okay, I was working on New Year's Eve.
How about 4 days unplugged?
4 days on off air, yeah. And I got to tell you, I have not... I've been keeping track of things. I have spent 22 hours on the telephone since New Year's Eve. 22 hours on the telephone. Okay? Think about that for a moment. Since New Year's Eve. And I've done a lot of research. Joe found some interesting things we're going to be talking about later tonight. I'm going to make some people's heads explode tonight.
Yeah. We talked about this last week or the week before, this book by Zbigniew Brzezinski, original from 55, Totalitarian Dictatorship and Autocracy. We're going to be getting into this a lot of what is in here.
That book's not an original. It's not a first edition, but it's old. Hence its appearance.
Yeah, and it came with an underline. And when we used to do investigative works, especially up in the Adirondack regions of New York, the used bookstores up there.
You'll find a lot of books up there.
They were just treasure troves. I mean, $2 for this thing. And
We
got some
back
old George Washington diaries and Founding Fathers books, which
boxes
first, second editions.
Books.
Yeah, stuff you just don't find here.
I think Tupper Lake is where that one bookstore was. I'm not sure. If anyone's listening in Tupper Lake, if you could tell us if that bookstore is still in business, and you know which one it is, everyone up there knows the bookstore. Let us know, and hey, we'll make arrangements if somebody's up there. I'll give you a shopping list, because I mean the prices are real good. The hours are kind of messed up. Not when I say messed up, there's limited hours. So
when we were up there, I don't remember if they were coming or going or staying.
The gentleman said that he was thinking about closing down.
That's what I thought.
But the amount of resource materials located in that bookstore, the first editions, I mean, Mao's Little Red Book. Remember, if you grew up in the, or if you became of age in the late 60s, early 70s, specifically early 70s, I think, it seemed to me that everyone was walking, anyone who was at university or in college was walking around with Mao's Little Red Book. And I'm not endorsing it, of course, but that was just a matter of fact. And you know, they had a bunch of those up there. They had some pretty good first editions. So here's a call out to anyone in, I believe it was Tupper Lake. Yeah, I don't think it was Saranac. No,
it was
Lake.
Tupper Lake. And it was around the bend. There's a McDonald's right around as you come around the lake.
I think it was on 2nd Street or something like that.
Like 2 blocks from the lake, I think, between the police station or courthouse.
Well, so if anyone's up there and knows of that bookstore of which we speak and wants to do us a solid, wants to do us a favor, let us know, and because we have a shopping list.
Drive back up there if we find out it's open?
Well, we'd prefer not to have to drive back up there, given it's about a five-hour drive, and then you get into the weather, and it's, you know, it's more than that, I think. It's seven-hour drive. Yeah. So, although we would, just merely for the resources. And some of the information there, too, is... it's interesting because there's archive material in the National Archives that were published but are out of print, and the store had them. Anyway, Tupper Lake, if you're in the area, know the bookstore, give us a shout, send us an email, we're going to go from there. Before we get into the program tonight, I want to mention that portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by nuts.com. Oh, nuts are back in style in 2016. Nuts.com. Have you visited nuts.com recently? Oh, you're in for a treat. I have to tell you, during the holidays, when my sister-in-law was here, and we had a small gathering of 30 people here in the house, in our home. And, oh, wow, Nuts, the products from Nuts.com went out the door first. I mean, they went off the tables first, okay? People's favorites were the roasted cashews, the pistachios, and then the dried fruit, the chocolate-covered cranberries. Folks, go to Nuts.com. That's Nuts.com. In my opinion, they've got the best-tasting snacks on the planet, Nuts.com. Folks, right now, if you go to Nuts.com, you get 4 free samples to choose from over 50 options. It's a $15 value when you go to Nuts.com, but you got to click on the mic box, and you've got to enter my code, our code, HH, for Hagman and Hagman. Super secret code? No. Just go to Nuts.com, Mike. Just remember this, nuts.com, microphone box, HH, and go to town and benefit from the specials that they have created specifically for our audience. A couple of things, again, before we get started, I had the pleasure, the distinct honor of being a guest on the Common Sense Show last night, second hour. And Dave Hodges and I, we hashed out predictions for 2016, which we're going to talk about tonight. And... there's some very interesting things taking place right now as we speak that we need to really pay attention to. And go to stevecoyle.com, his alerts. Check those out. We're going to be hitting some of those tonight. Also, we're going to be talking about this right here. Okay. You see what I'm holding in my hands, ladies and gentlemen? Those people who are listening on Global Star Radio Network, of course, it is the 2016 issue for The Economist. Now, this is a magazine, okay? I got a question for people. Have I been out of the loop? Am I a dinosaur? You walk into a bookstore, or you walk into Barnes & Noble or wherever, and you go to buy a magazine. I'm thinking like $3.95 or something. Actually, I was thinking $3.95. Okay, so I hand the... I wasn't paying attention. I'm thinking, you know... So I hand the magazine over to the clerk. Actually, we bought two. And it was like $26 or $27, and you know, with tax.
Yeah, $14. I said,
wait a minute. Or yeah, it was almost $30, I guess. And I looked at the clerk. I said, no, I think you overcharged me. And he looked at me, and he looked down at the thing, and he said, no, don't think so. And I said, are you kidding me? And I looked down, and instead of $3.95, it's $13.95 for a magazine. But we need this because we have to talk about this. You folks, you and me and Joe, we got to talk.
Yeah, I'm interested to see
what
you want to get into here. Because there's a lot in here. Skimming through it and skimming through it again.
Yes. Well, I actually went through this. I don't think there's a dot, a letter, an ad that I did not research. I mean, I went over this with a fine-tooth comb. And I mean...
So
I understand.
All the stories,
I understand.
Year of the Unicorn?
Yes.
And interesting. Choice of words?
The very interesting choice of words. And those words are very deliberate. And everything in here, and you have to understand, this magazine is partly owned by the Rothschilds. You have to understand, anything in here, there's symbolism, and we're going to get into that tonight. Before we start tonight, I just want to start off the new year by saying this. You know what? We are so thankful to have the audience that we have. We are so thankful to have the listeners that we have. We're so thankful to have the colleagues that we have. And when I say colleagues, I'm talking about other talk show hosts, such as Mr. J.B. Wells from Caravan to Midnight. I'm talking about Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show. I'm talking about Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness, his radio show. I'm talking about Ted Brewer on his radio show. I'm talking about all of the audios and videos that Dave Dobemeyer puts out. Just tremendous. We are so fortunate to be in the company of luminaries like this. Survive to Thrive, Hawk. So, you know, so thankful to be a part of the colleagues, that level of professionalism. We are so thankful to Global Star Radio Network that they do what they do. And it's only going to get harder in the days ahead. But thank you, Global Star. Thank you to our colleagues. I want to thank you to Blog Talk Radio, BTR. Yes, for all of their cumbersome controls and what have you. Thank you. I want to thank the people, again, behind us, JD, Rhonda, the people like Joe Charles, Joe Stald, who does the news for us. Thank you. The people who tossed in and said, you know, I want to help. I want to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. I want to change. I want to say thank you. And if I fail to mention you by name, it is not deliberate. Each and every one of you has a very special place in our heart. Steve Quayle, Pastor Langford, God bless both of you. True men of God. And by the way, Joe, the schedule this week will include, on Wednesday, Pastor David Langford and Steve Quayle talking about fear of the Lord and famine in the land.
Awesome. It's been a while since they've done a show together.
That's right.
And I was wondering... And that's good. That's a perfect addition to our week.
It is. Tomorrow, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, tomorrow we're going to have the guy behind Whole Tones Live, Michael Terrell, on.
Before Stan, he'll be on the first 2 hours?
No, just the first hour, about what his product is, music. And if you go to Hagman at Hagman.com, you'll see Whole Tones Live on there. And what this is biblically based music. biblically based instrumentals. And you know, that kind of segues into a point, perhaps. Now he's going to explain to us, all of us, you know, how this really works and how the sounds of the Bible. You know, God made music. God made sounds. God made frequency. Nay, it's all of God.
Frequency is what holds matter together.
Basically, right.
It's one train of thought, one theory.
And you know, Joe, this is something that when I was talking to Whole Tones, I said, I don't want people to get the wrong impression here. I don't want to mislead people in terms of, you know, we talk about music, we talk about frequency, we talk about tones, and right away people say, uh-oh, tones and frequencies. Okay, let me just say this. You know, recently we've received a lot of emails concerning New Age teachings. Let me be perfectly clear, and starting out 2016, that should cover retroactively 2015 and from henceforth.
And I have a good example.
Okay. I just want to say this. We do not teach, nor do we endorse anything New Age, period. We try to bring on, folks, a variety of guests. And our purpose is not to try to divide anyone. In fact, we attempt to stay far away from that. We bring on guests to educate and maybe make us think about a variety of different interpretation of concepts.
Some are professionals in secular aspects of society. Some are professionals in understanding doctrine.
That's right. And in the first day, the first show, the first hour of the first show of the 2016 year, let me say this and let this ring perfectly loud and clear. This platform is first and foremost a Christian-based show with current events as our primary topics. We are not the judge nor the jury for our guests, nor do we condemn anyone who interprets something differently than we do, as long as the litmus test for all guests is, do you accept our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior? If the answer is yes, does anything else matter? Well, yes, it does to an extent. But once again, we don't endorse anything New Age. We do not adhere, you know. So, and a lot of times people will make snap judgments, knee-jerk judgments, based on
keywords or
keywords.
And trigger words. Like you said, frequency.
Yeah.
And people do and can tie that word with further understanding of it as a New Age belief. And you know, we hear a lot about this Christ consciousness, which is a New Age term. But you know, I had this just for personal reasons. But the UN religious branch, Lucius Trust, has a publication and has had publications out explaining their religious position and how everybody's wrong. Well, you know, they talk about the Christ reappearing on Earth as a man.
Everybody's wrong, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, they...
I understand that.
Spangler, David Spangler. Yeah. No one will enter the New World unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. It goes on to say that Christianity is... cannot rightly be attacked as an expression, in essence, if not yet entirely factual, of the love of God imminent in his created universe. Churchianity, however, has laid itself wide open to attack, goes on to say, nevertheless, this is thinking minority, which is talking about the people who go to churches, and they say this will spell the doom, this attitude of churchianity will spell the doom of Christianity and endorse the spread of the true teachings of the Christ, the coming Christ.
And bear in mind, Christ is a title, not a...
Okay. It means Messiah. And
well, if you dig deeper... Right, if you dig deeper into the Greek meaning of Christ, you'll find some interesting revelations there. But go ahead.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting. They say this new religious order, the new world order religion, will use prayer, meditation, and rituals, having prepared humanity through the ritualistic nature of churchianity. Goes on to say a closer spiritual relationship is needed, and that through us praying and meditating, through this work, we will evoke a response from the hierarchy. Christ is the head, they say, and this is not Christ of the Bible. And it goes on to say that when we do this, we will, the belief of the masses will be changed into conviction, and there will be two great divine centers of energy or groups, the spiritual hierarchy and humanity's hierarchy.
Mm.
And they, they even quote the Bible in here. And they take it way out of context. And
but the author is from who?
This is from the UN. This is from...
okay.
This is the actual breakdown of the UN's Lucius Trust and their what they believe.
All right.
I mean, I know we have other plans for first hour, but this gets into a lot.
That kind of shows DeGoya, right? No, it goes to show you that there's...
They have, you know, they talk about yoga, they talk about rituals, they talk about... Yep. Spiritual festivals using the zodiac for spiritual invocation.
Stop right there, because understand that God created the heavens, the stars, the planets for us. It's my understanding that He did this for us as a means, as a way for us to tell the time or the seasons. It's kind of like a giant clock in the sky. Okay, now we can talk about that. And then, however, we can talk about the astrological, not astronomy, but astrological aspects of, you know, the zodiac, for example, like you mentioned. But people need to understand that when we talk like that, we are referencing other people's works that take God's creation and pervert it into, well, their own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead.
And they go on to actually say, in the future world, all men of spiritual inclination everywhere will keep the same holy days, bringing mm-hmm. about a pooling of spiritual resources. Three festivals. They say Easter, and then the festival of Buddha, and then the festival
and,
of
Festivus,
will.
Right? Is
these
it Festivus
three
festivals,
in there? Not, no.
No.
Unless it's been added since this publication.
You know, I'm talking about folks, right? Festivus?
The... made up holiday in Seinfeld.
Right.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah.
But no, they talk about, and see why this is important is because what they talk about in here is a coming spiritual kingdom. It's just the kingdom of darkness and the Antichrist before the return of Christ.
Yeah.
And they twist and convolute this, so much. If you did not have a basic understanding of the doctrine, sound doctrine of the Lord, very easily, I can see why people would buy into this.
Right.
Right. It's all the good news of Christ brought to, how would we say it? Your best life is now on this earth.
Yeah.
And the Messiah is still waiting to come. And through your Christ consciousness and your acts of prayer and meditation, you will invoke these spirits. And your belief, as they say, will be changed into conviction because of your actions or your works, they say. But there's a lot more here.
Well, I mean, I think that proves, that provides a good example of the perversion when one talks about, you know, the heavens and the placement of planets, and really God has created that. And it gets perverted for astrology. We talk about music, and we talk about the tones and the harmonics of mm-hmm. King David, and that gets perverted through any number of venues.
Well, at the same time, the fallen angel Lucifer, Satan, was thought to be the top musician. Actually, I believe that is correct. I remember Steve talking about it, and it's in the book of Enoch. How and so, you know, you do have good and bad purposes for almost everything. You know, you can apply to technology, it can apply to music, it can apply to spiritual teachings and belief systems. It can be used for the good and the furthering of society towards the biblical belief, or it can be used for evil in every other way possible. And most often the evil is subtle more than overt, and it's very hard to see unless you have an understanding of what it is.
Yes.
But The Economist. Right.
Okay, let's get into The Economist, folks.
I don't know where you're going to start, but the second ad.
Hang on a second here. Let me...
We turn your dreams into reality, created in China.
there are a few things here that we need to... there we go. I just wanted to pull up something here.
They sure are creative with their article titles.
Here it is. When we were doing preparation for tonight's program, and we were doing investigation into what our predictions are for 2016, and by the way, folks, I had I expressed my predictions for 2016 on the Common Sense Show yesterday. How did this happen here? I want to. I gotta get rid of this. Here. Okay. Anyway, I guess I can't.
What are you trying to pull it up for the?
Well, no. What I was trying to do was. It's not gonna work here. All right. What I was trying to do. There was a. Can you get rid of this and bring this up? All right. Eric the tech is coming to the rescue here.
There are some very spiritually dark occasions all through this magazine.
Okay. Everyone is looking to what could possibly be taking place in the world in 2016. And we know that the Illuminati, the power brokers, the people that behind the politicians, behind the faces, we do know that it's their intent to share with the other people, the other people in the know, kind of like lay out their agenda, and there is kind of a perverse sense of policy where people in power need to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. For example, we are going to, I mean, just think about all of that, okay? Think about the fact that you know, they feel in their warped sense of diplomacy and their warped sense of righteousness that they have to tell people what they're going to do before they do it. Well, so it exists in the publications owned by various members of the global elite. Now, this is my own personal professional assessment. This is my opinion. It does not reflect necessarily.
I don't know.
This is my professional opinion. Okay, but we have to say it's opinion. It's speculation. Okay. It's reasoned speculation based on investigative analysis. That's what this is. So we looked at the Economist cover for 2015, and it's interesting because on August 28th and then followed again on September 1st, which Eric is, here it is. Thank you. Eric just, I don't know how you did that, but man, you're like the man. Okay. Thank you, sir. And if you want to, you can actually put this on screen for people watching. This was published on August 28th by The Economist themselves and updated on September 1st. And here's what they said. Here's what they wrote. Update September 1st. Last week, we asked our readers to spot the symbolism on our latest cover. You did not disappoint. Now, this is not referring to the yearly cover. This is referring to that particular issue. Okay. And this will and folks, this is a good illustration, I believe, a good exhibit of what we're talking about. I mean, perfect exhibit. they write, you did not disappoint. We received hundreds of comments on our website, Facebook, and Twitter, most of which were considered and fun to read. Most commenters looked beyond the obvious visual pun of the red wall and its allusion to a declining stock market chart. Some suggested that the mountain was made of coal, while others mentioned confusion or Confucius, you know, that philosophy. But a fair number guessed correctly. The bare branch on the tree, and there's a, and you, those people watching this live can see this. The bare branch on the tree represented or mirrors the state of the Shanghai Composite through the middle of August. Now, the Economist writes, the first person to correctly note this was Gerard Gouldson on Facebook. So, folks, what I'd like you to do, and for the people listening and only listening, what you have is the Shanghai Composite Index from December 1990 forward. Or, wait a minute. Yeah, that's correct.
From when?
Well, it says August 2015 on below. It's a Shanghai Composite Index. And basically all it is a simple graph. It's a one-line graph, and it's calibrated on the lower axis by date, and on the upper, or the y-axis, would be by numbers. I can, I think, right? Yeah, okay. All right, here we go. Let's see if we can get this done right here.
And then this month.
Okay. So, well, I just want to point out a couple of things here. Number one, The Economist admits right now that, yes, we are using symbolism on visual, on images in The Economist to convey messages. So those people who poo-poo, say, oh no, this is just conspiracy nonsense, to me, are not even reading the admissions of the very publications that are using symbolism to convey a message. So what you have here, just this one small illustration, represents the Shanghai Composite Index and the severe decline from upwards of 4,000 down to near, 28, well, somewhere under, just under 3,000. And that's depicted by that lone branch on that picture, underneath which sits a man, Chinese guy, with his head in his hands and very sad. Okay, that's just one image. That's just one part of one image. So I said all that to say this. It is beyond the debate that the publications use imagery and symbolism to convey a message.
Yeah.
Okay, now, what the other thing, I just want to mention this as well. The original, and I think that this is important to understand, the original, which was published on August 28th, from The Economist, right directly from The Economist's mouth, or paper, they write, The Economist is sometimes accused of being part of a vast conspiracy involving secret societies, arcane rituals, and hidden messages. While this paper can neither confirm nor deny these charges, now think about that, tongue in cheek, it is true that we sometimes include symbols on our covers that can be spotted by the more eagle-eyed of our readers. Think of them as the semiotic equivalent of Easter eggs in video games. Go ahead.
And folks, you need to understand that symbols basically are a language that speak to people who have been taught to understand the language of symbols.
No,
and unlike words, you can't have a symbol that means the same thing, you know, in two different uses.
Right.
There or there. And there's many others, but yeah.
Now, what I like to do, and I like to direct people who are watching this live to the actual cover of The Economist for the week of August 29th through September 4th, 2015. Now, take a look, folks. You saw earlier that message. Now, take a look at the entire cover. What do you see there? You see, obviously, the text, you know, the header of the magazine. Then you see the text. Then you see this mountain in this red wall that extends downward. And then in a very tiny, very small piece of real estate on the front cover of the magazine, you see the tree and this guy sitting there alone, correct? Now, when you look at that image, understand what the economist is saying. Where's the message? The message is really hidden by that one lone branch. That one out of the entirety of the cover. The importance in this case, the important piece of real estate in this case, out of that entire cover, is the man sitting below that one bare, well, is that one bare branch. I shouldn't say the man. It's the one bare branch on that tree. Out of the entirety of the cover. That's the message, the hidden covert message, according to The Economist. All right. Do you see what I'm saying? They're devoting an entire, I mean, that's a lot of real estate, and that one little piece is what they're saying. This is what we're trying, this is the message, the symbolism we're conveying to you. Now, they give a tongue-in-cheek answer, like a chaotic type of relation, or exercise, or, yeah, chaotic, I guess.
Refusing to deny it, but not.
Right.
Putting any legitimacy into it.
No. Okay, having said all of that, folks.
And you saw this then, right?
Yeah, and that's what we. This is, and this, and we're going to be talking about this. You know, folks, what's going on right now in Oregon, where militia have taken over a federal building.
Militia?
Yeah.
I've been reading that they're terrorists all day.
Yeah, well, and on that website, Free Republic, I think they called them. Terrorists, but
I think the New York Times and the Washington Post had articles this morning. They were saying they were terrorists without saying as much, you know. When do we start?
Well, Montel Williams, by the way, calls for the calls for shoot to kill in Oregon showdown. Now, here's, this is so important, folks. You've got what's taking place right now in Oregon. You've got the Oath Keepers keeping out of it for good reason, good measure.
And the FBI being brought in.
Right.
Not the Bureau of Land Management,
right,
which handled the Bundy incident last
year. Right, and this is directly related to the Bundy situation. All right, let me get this correctly here.
The two people, the Hammonds, I believe their name is, have been convicted of arson for a fire that burned some.
It was a controlled fire. What they were doing is burning underbrush. Okay.
They served a prison sentence, got out.
Yes.
And the judge, a judge ruled that the sentence was illegitimate and that they need to go back to jail.
Which is really double jeopardy in the legal system.
Absolutely. Okay.
But
it's not part of the same sentence for, and then to have a judge rule that, you know, the original sentence that you served
wasn't long enough
or valid.
Right.
And you got to report back.
Well, and like everything else you hear, you think you know. Okay, there is always a back story. All right.
And before I forget, if people want to see this, do a search on YouTube about the Bureau of Land Management torching land and cows in Oregon.
Yes,
you'll find some fresh content there.
I had received an email this week from, or this over the weekend from Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers, and this is all going to tie together. You might think, boy, talk about the first program being so disjointed and disparate topics. No, this all ties together. You're going to see in this magazine right here, in The Economist, you're going to see what we're talking about with respect to what's going on in Oregon. I promise you this. I promise we're going to connect the dots on this. But right now, and we're going to tie this, what's going on in Oregon, to Steve Quayle's alerts and to the to Obama's gun grab that's coming up. But here's the backstory in Oregon. You have the Bundys, of course, the Bureau of Land Management going against the Bundys back a couple of years ago, and the Patriot community coming to the rescue, right?
Yeah, over grazing fees that totaled over $1 million, allegedly.
Okay, well, the backstory, and again, people are not getting the whole truth from the with mainstream corporate media. People are not getting the whole truth from some members of the alternative media who want to make this about them, not about the issue of freedom.
Yeah,
understand that.
Some of the spokesmen for the militia, I heard, didn't give a clear explanation of what was going on, leaving out the most important part, which is the jail sentence and then trying to have them serve it again.
Well, here's what basically what I got from Stuart Rhodes is on oathkeepers.org. But let me just get into this real quick here because it provides a backstory. If you're unfamiliar with what's going on right now, you've got militia versus the federal people, okay, and calls for a civil war, calls for this being the time and the place to make a stand and you know, in the civil war process. Now, I don't necessarily agree 100% with this because of what, and I agree with the Oath Keepers' stand on this, at least initially. And they, Sir Rhodes writes, basically Ammon Bundy, the guy that's calling for this armed standoff and that has headed up taking over the federal ranch building there, has not made it sufficiently clear to the Patriot community that the Hammond family has declined physical armed help and by all indications does not want any kind of armed standoff with the federal government. They don't want anyone to attempt to protect Dwight and Stephen Hammond from being taken into federal court custody today, all right, when they are scheduled to turn themselves over for their to serve additional time for felony convictions, which came after a jury found them guilty. So basically what it was they're saying is, look, Dwight and Stephen Hammond, very 76-year-old man, I believe it is, and the younger son, taken into federal custody today, turning themselves over, and you've got a family, or you've got a guy by the name of Ammon Bundy, Ammon Bundy saying, now you get the family saying, we don't want any, look, we're just going to serve this out, and then Ammon Bundy saying, no, we are going to make a stand. But then you get the family coming back and saying, well, neither Ammon Bundy nor anyone in his group or organization speaks for the Hammond family, Dwight Hammond or Stephen Hammond. In addition, I wish to report to you that as recently ordered by the District Court, District of Oregon, Dwight Hammond and Stephen Hammond intend to voluntarily report to their designated facility on January 4th, 2016 as required. And that was the statement of the Bundy family. All right. Well, the Oath Keepers, they said, hey, you know what? If you want us there, we'll go there and protect you. But we need to have a clear cut and a unified approach to this, and a unified, sensible approach to this. And isn't that the case so many times? You see, people are yelling and saying, oh, the Oath Keepers should be there. Well, wait a minute. They made the offer. The family that's at the epicenter of this issue declined. So the Oath Keepers are not going to force themselves onto
the family.
Right. But see, what people hear what they want to hear, and people take this as, oh, well, you know, they should, there's so much in this. I mean, the divisiveness is so pervasive in all of this. You have to understand
there are
that
agendas,
they're not, yes.
Both sides.
Agendas tearing, just yeah. Ripping this apart. And we can't have that. If we're gonna take a stand, as we should take a stand, and lay down and say, you know what, not one inch more, and we are gonna protect our rights, then we have to do it. We have to do it as statesmen. You know what? Stuart Rhodes says it best. We have to do it in the manner that they did it, how the founders kicked off the American Revolution, the right way. And is there a right way to kick off a revolution? If you're going to schedule a revolution, is there a proper way to do it? Well, Stuart Rhodes makes a good point. There are some who intend to try to force us into some form of modern Lexington Green or Concord Bridge against the wishes of the Hammonds and their neighbors. They need to take a hard look at the founders' example and their wisdom. The founders, even after the Boston Massacre, did not immediately take up arms and fight. They gave the crown and the parliament plenty of rope to hang themselves and show their true face to the colonists and drive more Americans over to the Patriot cause. The founders have focused on smart resistance that poked at the crown and goaded them into further abuse of more of the American people and goaded Gage, Okay, that's the, well, go to engage into attacking as the clear aggressor, to arrest the Patriot leaders and confiscate arms and ammunition.
And we can look at it like this. You know how all of us have somebody who we try to explain what's really going on in the world, politically, economically, spiritually, who just won't hear it no matter.
Right. Good point.
Sometimes you have to let those people find out the truth for themselves before they will come and ask you, start asking questions, and are willing to talk to you about the issues.
But see, in this case here, what I'm seeing in this case, folks, and I think what we're seeing collectively in a larger scale is a divisiveness creeping into whatever project, plan, operation you have. Okay, there's always divisiveness, and there's the divisiveness really at the earthly, in the earthly realm, comes from people with their own agendas. They will exploit any crack, and they will do so with malice in order to divide. And what's the best way to overcome an operation like this, or a situation like this, is through division, open division. Now, if you take it up a step from the earthly realm into the to the heavenlies, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of the air. And so what we see here is the earthly component who are exploiting the situation and increasing divisiveness and exploiting the divisiveness for their own personal agendas, really being operatives of Satan. But that's kind of a really a view from outer space when you look at it. But this, what's happening here is the Oath Keepers in this case are saying, wait a minute, we can't do this. You guys are not exactly, you're sending us mixed signals, and we cannot become involved. And then since that email, the Oath Keepers have published a couple of different articles from different contributors. Mike Vandenbouw, I believe it was, originally published, this is at Sipsey Street Irregulars. The title is Oregon Standoff, Federal Provocateurs, Sociopaths, and Idiots. You see, within any group, there will be infiltrators, will be people infiltrating the group. Mm-hmm. Patriot groups especially are susceptible to this, and they will provoke the federal agents. You've got federal agents who are acting as federal provocateurs. And then you've got sociopaths and idiots who seem to be attracted to any type of situation where there's divisiveness or in anywhere.
And I don't know if you how much attention you've been paying to the situation, but this really started the middle of last week.
It did.
In the beginning of last week. But it feels different than the Bundy issue.
Well, it
this
is.
This feels... It is. I mean, even when I first heard about it, but now that you're getting into this and talking about things I have not heard, especially that the family's, you know, asking...
Right. They said, no.
And then you hear the people who are there acting as the militia, encouraging people to... I mean, just today, I heard a soundbite of people encouraging others to come.
Exactly. And if you go to stevequayle.com, and this... Steve sent me this earlier today. I don't have it on the studio computer here. Let me see if I can just grab this from his website. If you go to the alerts section on stevequayle.com, I talked to Steve today, and we you know, he was so on top of this. It was just absolutely incredible. when folks were changing our website in anticipation of making that change, so there's a lot of things missing from our website. Okay, that's all right. Let's see. SteveQuayle.com, right? You can take a look at what he wrote, and I should have had this up, and this is my apologies. You can take a look at what he wrote on the alerts section. The Q alerts, important part of this section.
That's right on the right-hand side.
There it is. Validation that Oregon is a false flag. Also, information indicates chatter between other states in Arabic, indicating upcoming multiple state attacks. Pray,
yeah.
Christians.
This
all
FBI
goes together. Yes,
was coming into this, and this was before the federal building, the unoccupied. I don't know we have a peninsula here where there's a nature center, and during the winter months the peninsula is open, but the nature center is closed.
You're right.
I wonder how similar to
It's my understanding it is rather similar, but again, we're going to get into.
They made it sound like, you know, they overran the people in the
building. No. And we're going to get into it and how this talks about it. That's right. This magazine published months ago has a reference to it.
Yeah, you know what else it has a reference to? A few pages here. I was just reading this. It was about Saudi Arabia and Iran and their relationship.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Yeah,
and they talk about something different than what you see happening now. Although they, of course, add the possibility of the conflict happening. Way they have their bases covered. There's only two outcomes. You know, they can continue with their or three outcomes: continue the way they are, have better relations or worse relations. But many of you have heard about the Iranian and Saudi Arabian conflict that is stirring up. Well, here in The Economist, they predict relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia might just improve a bit in 2016. It's not yet seen. It's off to the wrong start.
Well, but then again, the year is early. But hold that thought, because getting back to the Q alerts from Steve Quayle, again, validation that Oregon is a false flag. Also, information indicates that chatter between other states in Arabic, indicating upcoming multiple state attacks. So what this is saying is, first, it addresses Oregon. Second, it addresses what Dave Hodges talks about, like a Tet offensive in 1968. There will be multiple attacks launched by ISIS members or Muslims here in this country, basically at the unleashed by the feds. But yeah, with respect to what Oregon is, this alert, Steve's source, and I know the source here, and I have to tell you, I understand that this person is in the know. This person writes, I spoke with several militia leaders from around the states yesterday after I got wind of what's going on in Oregon. None of them agree with what's taking place out there, more especially how they are doing it, not so much as to the why they are all there. Now, you have to understand, it's the method, not the motive here. That's being questioned. And he writes, Steve, I've got solid intel that there is at least one or more double agents or people that aren't who they say they are in this militia group that has taken over the federal building. The fact that the FBI is out there first, it kind of gives the false flag narrative an ace in the hole. This is not how we win the freedom movement. Now the National Guard is being sent out there. These guys who took over the federal building are not true militia. This is a rogue group of extremely dangerous people that are being herded to one spot, away from people, maybe for their promised gun battle. It's all too convenient, folks. Very convenient. This group claims they are going to occupy this place for years. And logistically, that will never happen once the power, water, and food supply are cut off. You know, if you've watched any movie with Bruce Willis in it, or terrorists in it, what's the first to go? You know, power, water, heat, whatever. This group out there wants a gun battle with the feds. They're openly stating this. They may just get their chance. And that's right. That's the worst idea. But see, folks, this is why, in the opening days, everything is not what it appears to be. Everything is not what it appears to be. Please understand this. This is the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people.
I mean, look at you have the president gearing up for another announcement of executive actions on guns.
Yep.
You already have the media and others calling you out as terrorists.
Yep.
Occupiers with guns. Nut jobs. Some people in the town have even commented how they don't feel safe, and that's a very rural, independent type of area.
But see, what's the best way to take out your opposition?
Yeah.
Sun Tzu, the art of war. Infiltrate, divide, and once you have that division, that spirit of divisiveness built in there, and the actual practical divisiveness, it's easy to take them down. And to take them out, much easier than to conquer a house that's divided than one who stands. And I'm all for the freedom movement. I'm all for the Second Amendment. I am all for
standing up
for us. But let's do it the proper and smart, intelligent way.
Yeah, got to pick your battles.
Pick our battles and understand that although on the surface it might sound like a good idea, look closely because the devil, folks, is in the details. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, to this, the first show of 2016. Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.